يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: إن الله اصطفى آدم ونوحا وآل إبراهيم وآل عمران على العالمين. صلوات We are into the Azhar of Sayyidina Shuhada, commemorating the martyrdom of Imam Hussein and his family and companions in Karbala. And these ceremonies that we have are very powerful tools for the Shia community to reconnect to their faith and their community, to re-energize ourselves spiritually, to know more about our values and our history, so that eventually we can reform ourselves to become better human being, better Muslim, and a better Shia of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salatu wasalam. Before I go to the topic, just a word about one of the announcements which was done about tomorrow, that when we talk about the Azhar of Sayyid al-Shuhada, essentially this is a religious based ritual. The Imams have talked about it during their times, that we should always keep the memory of the tragedy of Karbala alive in different forms, whether it's form in the Marsiya, poetry, and gradually in different parts of the Shia world the institution of Azhar evolved according to the time and place and the language and the culture. And as long as things were done and are done within the bounds of the Sharia, there is room for, you know, innovation in this ceremonies of Azadari. And one of the things that we see in the western part of the world, and this is how it started and it's already now spreading even to Asia and Africa and other parts of the world, is that we have added one more item into the diversity of the Azhar of Sayyid al-Shuhada by donating blood in the name of Hussein ibn Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. Salawat alayhi. Donating blood is a good deed by itself. It has its own reward and ajr and sawab. But when you do it in Muharram, in the name of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, with the intention that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm giving this blood, you know, as a charity, but in the name of Hussein, in a sense that the ajr and salam goes to the Imam. This is the hadiyah for the Imam. Then we realize that, you know, then our good deed is not just a simple charity. Its status is elevated, and accordingly even the ajr and salam of that will increase. And so when we look at this process, you know, we have to keep in mind that, you know, this is one way of, you know, adding into the diversity of doing the Azhar of Sayyid al-Shuhada. Salawat. In this majalis, I've been talking about the theme of Islamic system as far as family life is concerned, in the light of the Quran and the seerah of the Ahlul Bayt. And this majlis is the seventh majlis and lecture in the theme that I've been discussing. We started with the basic issue of the different prevailing family systems in the world and see what is the Islamic perspective about it. We went on to the issue of, you know, respect for the parents, especially during their old age, as far as the family context is concerned. And then we moved on to the issue of the importance of the marriage of institution, because when we talk about family life, this is the smallest unit of the society based on marriage relationship. And so the importance that Islam gives to it. And then we talked about, you know, two very important conditions if there has to be any sukoon, peace and tranquility in that relationship. One is that, you know, both the husband and the wife have to be on the same page as far as their iman and faith and aqidah is concerned. Otherwise, there will be conflicts. If not between themselves, then when it comes to the raising of the children. And there will be problems there. And the other issue was that, you know, we had to realize that when Quran talks about al-amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar, providing, you know, promoting good and discouraging evil, this is not just a community and social issue. This is also an individual issue. It also applies to the husband and wife in dealing with one another. Of course, they have to be very careful in how they do amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. You know, technique is more important than the actual action of amr bil ma'ruf and nahi anil munkar. And then we move on to this famous ayat of Surah Rum, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the marriage relationship as one of the signs of His power and glory. And where He says that in every marriage, I have blessed the marriages with mawadda wa rahma, wa ja'ala baynukum mawaddatan wa rahma. Allah says, I have given two elements, two emotions and feelings to the couple in every marriage. One is known as love and the other is known as mercy. And when we dedicated actually two nights on this concept of mawadda and love, what does it mean, especially in the context of the family life? And then last night we went on to the second of the two pillars of successful marriage, and that is rahma, mercy. But the focus last night was about more the element of mercy in the husband towards the wife. Tonight I would like to continue this issue of rahmat and, you know, mercy in the marriage context. However, here we are talking about, you know, the wife towards the husband. Salawat. To connect with Surah Tahrim, the surah that we discussed last night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, as I said, this surah actually talks about the challenges that people face in marriage life. The entire surah basically deals with this issue. And there you will see that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the example of three prophets who had, you know, challenging wives. They were not, you know, always, you know, harmonious in their relationship. And there, of course, you know, the ayat began where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about our own prophet first, and then He talks about the example of Hazrat Nuh and Hazrat Lut. And if we looked at all three situations, of course, we reversed the order, keeping the historical, you know, chronological order in mind. And we saw that an example of Hazrat Nuh, Hazrat Lut, as well as our own prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had to look at those stories there as examples of the husbands who had to deal with difficult situations regarding their wives. And you see in all these three examples, the husbands basically maintained sabr, and, you know, they basically were able to maintain patience and forbearance. And this is an example for us. The story is not for history. The story is there as an example for us to realize that even marriage relationship can become imtihan and ibtida. It can become a means of test and trial that Allah puts us into that situation. You know, there is an ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Inna amwalukum wa awladukum fitna." Your wealth and your children are fitna for you. What does fitna mean? This is not Urdu fitna here. In Arabic, fitna means test and trial. So even by giving you wealth, Allah is testing you. How you earn it, how you use it, and how you spend it. You know, when Allah gives you children, it's a blessing, but also it becomes a means of test and trial to see how you fulfill your duties towards them, how you raise them. And if Allah one day says, you know, I would like you to, you know, sacrifice your children for the sake of my deen, are you willing to do that or not? And so similarly, the marriage relationship, you know, a husband or a wife can become imtihan for the spouse. And if we have that in mind, then things become easier in handling the challenges that come along in the, marriage relationship. And especially, you know, talking about the husbands, before I come to the wives here, just this is a compliment to what I said last night, you know, the issue of raising hand and violence this is a really no place at all. Especially in the Western part of the world, when you know that by doing that, there are serious implications as far as the children are concerned. You know, the children will be taken away from you, and that it has their own, you know, psychological impact on the lives of the children themselves. And this is where we have to realize that there is no room for violence within the family, you know, disputes and challenges. Salawat on him. The option of divorce is always there. There's no need to, you know, resort to violence. If one or the other really hates the other person to that extent, Islam has always kept the door off, you know, the option of divorce is there. But even in divorce, this is important, we have to think about it. In the Quran, when the Quran uses some of the terminologies again and again and again, three times in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, remember, in marriage relationship you have only two choices. In Surah Baqarah, ayat number 229, فَإِمْسَاكٌ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ تَصْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. Either you maintain your wife with fairness, or you let them go with kindness. Even in talaq, the element of rahmah has to be there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yeah, if there are problems, you resolve it, فَإِمْسَاكٌ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. You maintain that relationship with fairness. أَوْ تَصْرِيحٌ بِإِحْسَانٍ. You let the wife go. With ihsan means with kindness. Again, in the next following ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمْسِكُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ أَوْ صَرِّحُهُنَّ بِمَعْرُوفٍ. Either, you know, you maintain them with fairness or let them go with fairness. This is also exactly the same words that have been repeated in Surah Talaq, in Surah number 65, ayat number 2. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not giving a third option there. Actually, in Surah Baqarah again, the following ayat 231, he says, وَلَا تَمْسُكُهُنَّ زِرَارٌ لِتَعْتَدُوا. Do not hold on to your wife in order to hurt them. You know, sometimes I deal with situations where things are, reconciliation is out of, you know, your possibility there. The husband says, I'll go to the court, give her legal divorce, but Shari'i divorce, no. I will, you know, make her suffer. They don't know that in Islam, in Shia Islam, you know, mujtahid has the authority. Even if you say no, 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 if the mujtahid realizes this is an unfair case, he can, you know, pronounce a divorce there. Quran is very clear, وَلَا تُمْسِكُهُنَّ زِرَارًا. Do not hold on to the wives in order to hurt them, لِتَعْتَدُوا. Because then you will be going beyond the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put on you. وَمَنْ يَفْعَلْ ذَلِكَ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. Whoever does that, he actually has been unfair and unjust to himself by making himself liable for the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat on him. So going back to Surah At-Tahrim, does not only talk about the example of good husbands and bad wives. It also talks about another opposite example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that surah talks about two ladies, Bibi Asiya and Bibi Maryam. However, looking at the context of marriage life, Maryam's example would not be fitting here. So we'll not talk about it. There's more an issue of a righteous lady as an example there. But when it comes to you know, Asiya, who is the wife of Fir'aun. So you have that an example of somebody who was a bad husband and a good wife. And this is where I said I've dedicated tonight's majlis, you know, addressing basically the women. And this element of rahmah and sabr which is required to maintain a peaceful, you know, marriage life. Salawat upon the Ikbara. Let me begin by saying that, you know, marriage life is not always static on the same level. very ups and downs. In Urdu, you know, we have a saying, jahan bartan hote hain wahan awaaz hogi. When you put the utensils in the kitchen sink, there will be sound there when they rub on one another. And so, you know, when you have a marriage relationship, you know, it's up and down. That's why this surah talks about the example of Anbiya. This is for us to learn. And this is where we have to realize, you know, life cannot be always static there. Sometimes it has, it goes up, sometimes down. But it has to be within the range of manageable, not beyond the acceptable levels. Otherwise, you know, the life can become very boring. If everything is just always the way it is, you don't even then appreciate one another. It's only when you realize, okay, you know, we could have lost here in this issue, this is where you come to appreciate one another even more. There are two things I would like to mention really, as far as, you know, keeping in mind how to maintain the good relationship according to the Quranic point of view. Number one is the concept of satr. Maintaining the privacy and the sanctity of the relationship between husband and wife. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually has used very beautiful terms, and this is the beauty of the Quran. These days we talk about psychology, human psychology, child psychology. You know, we have magazines which are addressing the popular, you know, audience about psychology. During those days, you didn't have these, you know, special terms that people would be familiar with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses very simple terms, which are even relevant and powerful now. When He talks about the relationship between husband and wife, He uses the term, He says, "Hunna libasun lakum, wa antum libasun lahunna." Surah Baqarah, ayat number 187. He says the relationship of the husband and wife is the husband is the libas, the dress and the garment for the wife, and the wife is the garment and libas for the husband. Think about it. Such a simple concept. There is no psychological terms used here at all. But very deep meaning there. What is the purpose of libas and you know, dress? It basically covers three things. One is, you know, it protects you in extreme weather, especially if you live in Toronto in winter. You know, so the clothings are there, number one, to protect you in extreme weather. Even here in very hot weather, you know, there are problems if you're not covered properly. Number two, the dress actually is a zenith for you. Zenith, in a sense, it adorns a person. We would like to be more presentable when we go out. And how do we do that? One of the important elements is our clothing. And the third purpose of the libas is that it conceals whatever physical defects we have on our body. It has this function of satr. Satr-e aib. You know, it hides our, you know, physical aib and, you know, the problems that we would have. And this is where we have to realize that, yes, husband and wife, they become a means of protection for one another. They actually add to the beauty of one another as persons. And also they become, you know, a means of aib poshi. Concealing the defects and the weakness that they have, you know, they would know about it, others would not know about it. They would actually cover the aib and the weaknesses that they have, because that is the function of a libas. And so this third element of what we call satr is very important. And this is where, you know, we have to realize, you know, in marriage and relationship, things happen. As I said, you know, life does not go on the same line. It goes up and down. And as soon as the problem starts, you know, going and complaining outside, whether to the family or others, is actually a violation of that element of libas. You are exposing the weakness of your husband or your wife. And this is where we have to realize that, you know, this is a very important element. There is no, and I'm not saying that, you know, there are some limits to what I'm saying here. Now, I'll talk about it clearly later on. What we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says the husbands are libas for their wives and the wives are libas for their husbands, He is actually talking about His own, you know, sifat and attributes of being sattarul uyun. Last night I said, you know, He talks about the issue of mawadda and rahmah. And how does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasize the element of rahmah and mercy about Himself? There are 99 names, but He says, remember me as Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim again. And similarly here, He is Sattar al-Uyub. What does that mean? He does not expose us in front of the people for every sin that we commit. No. To the extent that, you know, even if you look at this issue, I might be, you know, digressing, but it's a good, you know, example to keep in mind. Many times when we have the funeral of our mu'min or a mu'mina, we do the namaz janazah. There are 5 takbirat with 4 zikr in between. The first one is about shahadatain, the second is salawat, the third one is general dua for the believers and the Muslims, and the fourth one is actually the dua for the mayyit. What do we say there? Many people just recite it, they don't know what they are saying. Probably if they start knowing, they will be afraid of even saying it. Because there is a point where you say, Wallah, this man or a woman, he's, you know, this mayyit is basically your servant. And he or she has come to you, and you are the best one to be visited. And then we make a statement, Allahumma inna la na'lamu minhu illa khayra. Wallah, I don't know about this disease anything except goodness. Those who are very close friends will say, Maulana, I can't say that. I know him. You know, hum log yaare ghar the. We know the good things about him, we know about the bad thing about him. Are you asking me to testify in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Allah, I don't know anything about him but good. So this is a lie. But you still have to do it. When the question was asked of the Masoom about this statement, they said, no, you do it. Because when 40 mu'min stand up in the janazah and testify to the person that we don't know about this disease other than goodness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, I am Sattarul Uyub. I conceal the defects of the people. And these mu'mineen are doing the same thing with their mu'min fellow. If they are doing so much, I have to do even more, and therefore I'm going to forgive his sins. It becomes one more wasila and way of forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the mayyit. And so now coming back to this issue that, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the husband is libas for the wife and the wife is libas for the husband, this is where we have to realize when things happen, you know, you don't have to, you know, immediately go and complain to the father or the mother or the brother and sister. Don't disgrace your husband or wife, even in front of those who are immediate, you know, members of your family. Try to maintain this element of sabr. Be calm and then sit down and then rationally talk it out. And you will see that in most cases you will be able to resolve problem while concealing the weaknesses of one another. Salawat. See, the problem is many times we have very good technology. When we talk about means of communication, which are so fast and easy, far-reaching and free also many times. These are all ni'mat. But many times this ni'mat can also become bala. Especially, you know, during the old days, if there was any problem between a husband and a wife, if really the wife becomes very upset, she will think, okay, maybe let me now write a letter to my father or my brother. There were no telephones those days. So she will sit down. Now when she starts writing down the problem, when you write something, you know, you start thinking about it. Maybe at the end you will not even send the letter. Or even when the letter is written and sent, by the time it reaches there in, I don't know, 1 week or 10 days, depending how far they are, the problem here had been resolved. And the father and mother would be worrying there for nothing. But now what happens? Here the problem starts, immediately texting is happening there. Immediately the father and brother, for example, know about it. And instead of the problem being contained with this element of Satrul Aib, it is being exposed. And others get involved. And this is where we have to realize that when Quran uses this term, you know, they are very powerful and meaningful words when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the husband is the libas for the wife and wife is libas for the husband. Salawat. Of course, always keep in mind, we are only talking about normal such problems. If there is any issue of danger to the life of the woman, or when we are talking about violence, then, you know, you have to really go out and seek help. But we are talking about normal situation where Satr-i Aib becomes very important, and that itself actually helps in resolving the problem, because then they know and respect one another, that okay, we have issues, but let us try to resolve between ourselves. The second point I would like to mention is that, you know, there is a difference between the emotion and the outlook of husband and wife, based on the nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. The husbands always want to become, you know, the master of the house. And they have been given this status, الرجال قوامون على النساء. But قواميت here means that on an administrative level, the husband is the head of the family. It's nothing like, you know, a superior status and an inferior status there. And so that's no. But remember the issue I mentioned, that although you are the head of the family, where you really have to use this element of mawadda and rahmah in interaction with your wife, appreciating what she does, even just simple two words, thank you, can do miracles. And I mentioned an example last night. When it comes to the, you know, psychology of the woman, the wife, it is different. The husband wants to basically become the master of the house. The wife wants to become the master of the heart of the husband. That's a different thing. It's a different, you know, jurisdiction they are looking for their domination. And this is where we have to realize it's a very natural thing and there is no problem in it. But sometimes the wives go in the wrong way to maintain that domination on the heart of the husband. When problem starts, instead of looking at themselves, then where is the problem? Why did it happen? Is there something wrong with me and my attitude? Is it something wrong with his attitude? Let us sit down and identify the problem first. And only when you identify the problem, you will be able to find the solution. But sometimes, you know, the ladies, I'm not making a general statement here, sometimes, remember, when things happen, instead of looking at themselves, the husband and wife, they always look for a foreign influence. And when I talk about foreign influence, they say, oh, somebody has done jadu. Somebody has done this black magic in order to create problems in my life. Baba, there is no jadu. Problem is you or him, or both. Identify the problem, then you'll be able to find the solution. But no, the first thing is that somebody has done this. So then they look for an Amir Sahib, or a Peer Sahib, or a Maulana who does that. Many times I get this remark, Maulana, aapne padha kya hai, agar nahi jante hain ye sab to. If you don't know anything about this, then what you have studied? And this is where we have to realize that this does not solve the problem. You know, sometimes it's an interesting situation. Something happens in Toronto, and the lady will call her sister, for example, in Texas, and she will call somebody in Karachi, and Amir Sahib there, and he will be able to tell from Karachi that what is happening in Toronto. And this is 21st century. We are living in the first world. Well, it's not only our South Asian people. You know, if you go here sometimes, you will see these shops with this palmist sign. Some of them are there, you know, for 10 years or more. It means, you know, they are surviving and they have a good business. There's a common problem. There is Muslim and Shia. It's nothing like that. Even if there is, and I'm not denying jadu totality, no. Sahar is there. But the way it is prevalently believed in our South Asian culture, this is not true at all. People are actually taking advantage of your situation and extort money from you, and there is no, you know, solution at the end. If you really would like to protect yourself from such things, the best solution is there in Surah Nas and Surah Falaq. Go and read that. They are known as Ma'uzatain. What is Ma'uz? Ma'uz from Ta'weez. Both surah begins with the word A'udhu. Means I am seeking protection with the Lord of the people. And so those are the Ta'weez that we have. And that would be, you know, the best of the way of solution if there is anything out there. Sadaqah is another one. So this whole issue of, you know, looking for, you know, outside factors that, oh, this has happened to me because of this. And then sometimes they are told, well, if you really want your husband to love you, or really if you want to control him, this is the, you know, ta'weez that I can write for you. Just think about it. What kind of domination you are having if it depends on the ta'weez? Huh? You actually need akhlaq. You need to change the environment of the home. If there is problem on the other side, sit down with him. Get help for him. There is no need to go for these kinds of issues because there is no basis for that at all. Salawat. From the akhlaqi point of view, there are three things really. If a woman wants to really win the heart of the husband, number one, it is actually what we talk about, the expression of the face. And we are not talking about physically here. We are told in our ahadith that the behavior of the wife is to be with the husband in such a way that when he comes back home, whatever problem he had outside in work or with the community, you know, just by coming in and him greeting his wife and the wife greeting him, that face should be able to resolve all the tension that he had at the back. There is an example where we hear from Sheikh Saduq narrating a hadith where he says, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ. A person came to the Prophet and he said, إِنَّ لِي زَوْجَةٌ, that whenever I have a wife, that whenever I enter the home, she basically greets me, and whenever I'm leaving, she is there to say khuda hafiz. And whenever she sees me coming back with worry on my face, this is where she says to me that if you're worried about the sustenance, then remember Allah has guaranteed it. There is no need to worry about it. If the worry is for something else, then maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing you and your ajr and sawab would increase, so don't worry about it. Be patient. This is how she basically consoles him in his tension situations. Rasulullah remarks to that man about his wife. He says, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ أُمَّالًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain agents in the dunya who work for him. وَهَذِهِ مِنْ عُمَّالِهَا. And this lady is one of the agents of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The way she is treating her husband. لَهَا نِصْفُ عَجْرِ الشَّهِيدِ. Rasulullah said she, because of her akhlaq towards the husband, she will get the sawab, half of the sawab which is given to the shaheed. Salawat wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In the life of the Prophet himself, during the early days in Mecca, there's a lot of opposition. Rasulullah will, you know, try so hard to convey the message to the people. The people who knew him from before as As-Sadiq Al-Amin, the truthful and the trustworthy one, still they would reject. He would be disheartened. There are many ayat where Allah says, don't worry about it. You just do your job, your work. I will deal with him in the Akhirah. So it shows that he used to feel the pain and the hurt. But then what happened? Every evening when he comes back home, there is a wife who is a believing wife. The wife was the first one to accept him when the message was given. And that attitude of Khadija salawatullah alayha basically, you know, relieved the trouble and the worries that Rasulullah had during the daytime. Salawat wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. In Sahih Bukhari, actually there was an incident that this akhlaq of Bibi Khadija had an impact on the life of Rasulullah that even till the end of his life. Although now he had so many wives. But the status of Fatima, Khadija was still the first one. You know, according to one of our late Khatib in India, very beautifully you put it, that you know, the Prophet only married one lady. All other ladies married Rasulullah. And that was Khadija. And that feeling that Rasulullah had toward Khadija, in Sahih Bukhari there is an incident that one day her sister came to visit the Prophet in Medina. And he was very, you know, pleased with that visit, started praising Khadija, and the memories became more fresh. And this is the narration in Sahih Bukhari from Aisha, where she says that my sense of jealousy came up. فَغِرْتُ. In Arabic, غَيْرَت means jealousy here in that sense. And therefore I told the Prophet, مَا تَذْكُرُ مِنْ عَجُوزٍ مِنْ عَجَائِزِ قُرَيْشٍ For how long are you going to remember this old Qurayshi lady? Humara al-Shidqain, you know, she didn't have any teeth at that time. Halakat fi al-dahr, she is dead now. قَدْ أَبْدَلَكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا, and Allah has replaced a better one for you now. Bukhari stops here, doesn't give us the response of Rasulullah. Because he is his own bias towards, you know, Khadija and Fatima and Ali and the family. But other historians basically continue this conversation. Ahmad bin Hanbal, Sahih Tirmidhi, Ibn Kathir in his books, they actually describe what was the response of Rasulullah to Aisha at that time. And I'm not being polemical here, I'm talking about the example of how, you know, far-reaching can the impact of akhlaq of a person be. Rasulullah فَتَغَيَّرَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ تَغَيَّرًا لَمْ عَرُهُ تَغَيَّرُ عِنْدَ شَيْءٍ قَدْ تُعِلَّ عِنْدَ النُّزُولِ الْوَحِيِّ. This is Aisha's words in other sources now. He says, the face of Rasulullah turned in such a way that I had never seen that except when wahi comes down. And then he told me, كَيْفَ قُلْتِ, how can you say this? وَاللَّهِ لَقَدْ آمَنَتْ بِي إِذْ كَذَّبَنِ النَّاسِ, by Allah, Khadija believed in me when people rejected me. وَعَاتِنِي إِذَا رَفَضَنِ النَّاسِ, she basically gave me support when people, you know, abandoned me. وَرُزِقْتُ مِنْحَ الْوَلَدِ, and the children that I have are all from her. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deprived you from anything. And this is where we see, and she goes on to say that the Prophet was so angry that for 1 month he stayed away from me. And so when we are talking about akhlaq, you know, this can be something which remains in the heart of the husband for a long time, even after the death of the wife. Everything has to do with akhlaq. If the akhlaq is good, then everything can be resolved easily, inshallah. Salawat. The example of Amir al-Mu'mineen Fatima. The most difficult time in the life of Ali were those few months after the wafat of Rasulullah. The opposition, the deprivation of Khilafah, the confiscation of Fadak, and all these issues. The attack on his house. And at that time, it's his words. What was the source of solace for Amir al-Mu'mineen at that time? And this is where we have to really, you know, think about it. Fatima, her life after Rasulullah, her protest, her khutbah, her silence, whatever she did, whatever she said, was not for herself. Everything was there in the support of Ali. Amir al-Mu'mineen himself mentions there where he says, وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُ عَنْزُرُ إِلَيْهَا, whenever I would come back after I see betrayal everywhere, when I come back and I look at her face, تَنْكَشِفُ عَنِّي الْهُمُومُ وَالْأَحْزَانُ, all the ham and gham, all the worries and sadness would just disappear from me. This was the face of Fatima al-Zahra. Puri dunya Ali ko mushkil kusha kehti hai. Ali se poochhe ke aapke mushkil kusha kaun hai? Fatima al-Zahra. Unki himayat, unka akhlaq, unka support. And these are the example that we have to keep in mind. And so the first issue is this, you know, facial expression. When you greet your husband, or when they say Khuda Hafiz when the husband is leaving. I'm just talking about a very general sense here. The second issue is the sacrifice and support of in home. You know, people cannot survive by, you know, only, you know, doing the work outside as well as inside, unless the wife is supporting there at home. And that is an important issue. We talked about it 2 nights ago. The third important element I would like to mention is the language and the tone of the speech. This is very, very important. You know, many times the men have this nature and they have to control themselves. The element of rahmah has to be there. If they become very angry, they have to be very much in control of your anger. You know, otherwise they are the ones who would end up using their hands and get in trouble in this dunya and akhirah also. As far as women are concerned, the issue for them is not their hand. It is the issue of the tongue. It is not what you are saying, it is how you say it. And this is something we have to realize. You know, the tongue is basically the most important blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. We don't think about it. We probably wouldn't even thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it unless you read Dua Arafah of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. There you come to realize, okay, what are the blessings that Allah has given to us? Because we take it for granted. But this ni'mah, which is the biggest of ni'mah that Allah has given to us, the tongue, by which we can express our ideas and talk and communicate, you know, this can also become the biggest of bala. There is a hadith of Qudsi where we are told that every morning, you know, the limbs communicate with one another. Early morning, the tongue turns around and talks to the rest of the body, and it would ask, Kaifa asbahtum? How are you? How is your morning? And the response is that as long as you are good, we are okay. Because everything depends on the tongue. And this is where we have to realize, you know, it's not that you don't say what you need, whatever needs to be said. But there are ways of saying. You know, with this whole promotion of trying to prevent smoking, you know, sometimes you sit in the car and there might be a sign. Your host or friend or whoever, they said, you know, no smoking. Another sign would be, for example, do not smoke. A third one will say, thank you for not smoking. All three sentences are actually the same thing. But when you say thank you for not smoking, the other person will take that more easily. And so it is not the issue of what you are saying, the issue is how you say it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Musa alayhi salam and Harun alayhi salam to Fir'aun. And who was Fir'aun? Fir'aun was not only a tyrant, he was somebody who used to claim, Ana Rabbukum al-A'la. I am your great Lord, you are to worship me. Allah is sending Musa and Harun to somebody like Fir'aun, who is claiming to be God. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? اِذْحَبَا عِلَىٰ فِرْعَوْنِ إِنَّهُ تَغَىٰ Surah Taha, ayat 43-44. Oh Harun and Musa, go to Fir'aun, he has rebelled. فَقُولُ لَهُ And say to him, what should you say? قَوْلًا لَيِّنَا لَيِّنَا in English is very easy, leniently. Talk to him leniently. نرمی سے بات کرو. مہربانی سے ان سے گفتگو کرو. لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرَ وَيَخْشَى Perhaps he will remember the reality. Or fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Musa and Harun are supposed to talk to a person like Fir'aun, I'll say to the ladies, your husbands cannot be Fir'aun. Musa and Harun are told, you know, be lenient in your talk, polite in your talk, soft in your talk to Fir'aun. These are the examples that you have to implement in your own circle. And this is where we have to realize that when it comes to the issue of speech and tongue, this is the most important element in order to maintain peace and sukoon and tranquility in family life. Salawat alaikum. گفتگو ہماری سورہ تحریم میں تھی, جو مثال ہم دینا چاہیں گے اتفاق سے بات فرعون کی ہوئی, فرعون کی وائف آسیہ. خداوند عالم نے ان کی مثال دی ہے, جہاں انبیاء شوہروں کے مثال ہے اور ان کی بیویاں جو صحیح نہیں تھیں. ریورس ایگزامپل جناب آسیہ کی ہے, جب بیوی اچھی ہیں شوہر جو ہے وہ برا ہے, خدائی کا دعویٰ کرتا ہے, ظالم ہے. جناب آسیہ کون تھی؟ ملکہ تھی مصر کی, اور ان کے دس رس میں پوری دنیا تھی. اینی تھنگ دیٹ یو وش فور ان دس ورلڈ واز دیئر ایٹ ہر ڈسپوزل. مقام و شہرت ان کے پاس, دولت و ثروت ان کے پاس, آرام اور آسائش ان کے پاس. But the beauty of her character کیا ہے؟ ان کے دل میں جو طہارت اور صفائی تھی, کہ جب موسیٰ جیسے پیغمبر نے اپنی نشانیاں دکھائیں فرعون کے دربار میں اور ثابت کیا کہ یہ نبی ہیں, وہ اپنے شوہر کے رویے اور دین و مذہب کو چھوڑ دیتی ہیں, موسیٰ پر ایمان لے آئیں, جانتے ہوئے کہ اس ایمان لانے کی وجہ سے جو کچھ ہمارے پاس دنیا میں ہے سب ختم ہو سکتا ہے. یہ خواتین کے لیے مثال ہے. اگر چند نے کہا آپ کے شوہر فرعون نہیں ہو سکتے ہیں, لیکن ہو بھی سکتے ہیں, ارے لیسر ڈگری. ان کے لیے معاملہ کیا تھا کہ بھئی موسیٰ جو ہے کلیم اللہ ہے, نبی ہے, خدا کا پیغام لے کے آئے, ہمیں ماننا ہے. مقام اور حیثیت اپنے جگہ پہ, دولت و ثروت سب ختم ہو سکتی ہے, آرام و آسائش ختم ہو سکتی ہے, یہاں تک کہ ہماری جان بھی جا سکتی ہے. فرعون نے پہلے جو ہے بیوی کو سمجھانے کی کوشش کی صبر کے ساتھ, تحمل کے ساتھ, پیار سے, لیکن اس نے دیکھا کہ نہیں, یہ اپنے فیصلے میں اٹل ہیں. پھر دھمکانے کی کوشش کی, پریویلیجز لینا شروع کر دیا. پھر بھی اس نے دیکھا کہ جناب آسیہ اپنے ایمان پر قائم ہے. آخر میں فیصلہ کیا کرتا ہے؟ قرآن میں اس کا ذکر ہے لیکن تفصیل نہیں ہے. ہم حدیث اور وہ ریلیونٹ احادیث جو اس آیات کے سلسلے میں, اس کو ہم آپ کے سامنے پیش کر رہے ہیں. آخر میں فرعون نے اپنے اس ظلم اور بربریت کا ثبوت دیتے ہوئے اپنی بیوی کو حکم دیتا ہے کہ اس کو سولی پہ چڑھا دیا جائے, ٹو کروسیفائی ہز اون وائف. پھر بھی آسیہ نے اپنے ایمان کو نہیں چھوڑا. خداوند عالم نے اسی سورے میں ارشاد فرماتا ہے, اس قالت, سولی پہ چڑھنے کے بعد روایات میں ہے کہ جناب آسیہ نے دعا کی ہے. دعا کے اس فقرے کو خداوند عالم نے سورہ تحریم میں کوٹ کیا ہے. اس قالت, جب آسیہ نے کہا, رب ابنی لی عندک بیتا فی الجنہ, خداوند میرے لیے جنت میں ایک مکان بنانا, مجھے یہ فرعون کا محل نہیں چاہیے, یہ فرعون کی دی ہوئی دولت و ثروت نہیں چاہیے, فرعون سے ملی ہوئی شہرت یا مقام اور حیثیت ہمیں نہیں چاہیے, خداوند جنت میں میرے لیے ایک مکان بنانا. ونجنی من فرعون وعمله, خداوند فرعون اور اس کے عمل سے مجھے نجات دے. ونجنی من القوم الظالمین, مجھے اس ظالم قوم سے نجات دے. روایات میں یہ ہے کہ جب جناب آسیہ نے یہ دعا کی ہے تو خداوند عالم نے حجابات کو ان کی نظروں سے اٹھا لیا. ابھی زندگی تھی, سولی پہ تھی, منظر انہوں نے جنت کا دیکھا ہے. خدا کا جو وعدہ ہے اس دعا کو قبول کرنے میں, وہ محل اور قصر دے گا جو خداوند عالم نے آسیہ کے لیے تیار کیا ہے. اور آخری وقت اس کیفیت سے آیا ہے جناب آسیہ کا کہ اس منظر کو دیکھتے ہوئے ان کے چہرے پر مسکراہٹ تھی. صلوات پڑھنے کا. تو یہ جو صبر و ایثار کی بات ہوتی ہے دنیا اور آخرت کے لیے بہت ہی ضروری ہے. رسول کی مثال ہم نے پیش کی, جناب فاطمہ زہرا کی مثال پیش کی ہے. یہ جو چیلنجز کی باتیں ہوتی ہیں ہمارے آئمہ کی زندگی میں بھی بہت سے کیسز ایسے ہیں, لوگ پوچھتے ہیں آخر امام حسن نے یہ شادی جودہ سے کیوں کی تھی. ممکن ہے بات یہی ہو کہ بھائی آپ کو مثال دینی تھی کہ فیملی لائف میں چیلنجز ہو سکتے ہیں اور آپ کو کس طرح سے صبر تحمل سے کام کرنا ہے. لیکن صرف اس مثال کو ذہن میں نہ رکھیں, جو اچھی مثالیں ہیں اس کو بھی دیکھیں. امام حسن کی ایک اور زوجہ جناب ام فروہ تھی, وہاں ہارمنی کو دیکھو, سکون اور اطمینان کی زندگی کو دیکھیں آپ, ان کی وفاداری کو دیکھیں. یہ قاسم بن حسن کا سن غالباً 3 سال کا تھا جب جناب امام حسن کی شہادت واقع ہوئی زہر کے ذریعے. لیکن ماں کی تربیت کا یہ اثر تھا کہ باپ کو اتنا انہوں نے دیکھا نہیں ہے, چچا کے سرپرستی میں بڑے ہوئے ہیں, لیکن تربیت جو ہے ماں نے کی ہے. یہاں تک کہ جب وہ وقت آتا ہے کربلا جانے کے لیے, مدینہ چھوڑنے کے لیے, جہاں سب کو حسین لے کے چلے ہیں, جناب ام فروہ اور ان کے بچوں کو بھی لے کے ہیں, تربیت کا اثر. اور یہ جملہ ہم نے پہلے بھی کہا ہے کہ شہدائے کربلا میں جو جوان اور نوجوان ہیں, صرف ان کی شہادت کو آپ نہ دیکھیں, اس شہادت کے پیچھے ماؤں کا جو اثر ہے, ان کی تربیت کا اثر ہے, اس کو ذہن میں رکھیں. شب عاشور جب امام حسین علیہ السلام نے اس خیمے میں, جس میں جو ایکچولی خیمہ بہت بڑا تھا, اور یہ بیسیکلی یہ وہ خیمہ تھا جس میں پانی کے مشکیزے رکھے جاتے تھے, واٹر سپلائی کے لیے تھا یہ. لیکن شب عاشور اب پانی بھی نہیں تھا, لہذا اسی خیمے کو حسین ابن علی نے اپنی گیدرنگ کے لیے استعمال کیا. اور جہاں اپنے اصحاب سے یہ کہا کہ تم آزاد ہو ہماری بیعت سے, تمہیں اگر جانا ہے تو چلے جاؤ, کوئی تم سے کوئی سوال نہیں کرے گا. یعنی وہ صرف دنیا کی بات نہیں ہو رہی, آخرت میں بھی ہم نے آپ کو اپنی بیعت سے رہا کر دیا. لیکن یہ کمال کی بات ہے کہ اصحاب حسینی میں سے ایک بندہ بھی حسین کو چھوڑ کر نہیں جاتا ہے. اور اس کے بعد کی وہ بات ہے جو حسین ابن علی نے ان شہدا کے آنکھوں سے حجابات اٹھا دیے, جس طرح سے آسیہ کا ہوا ہے. جنت کے مناظر دکھائے ہیں کہ خداوند عالم نے آپ کے جو مراتب جو قرار دیے ہیں وہ کیا ہیں. انہیں علم یقین ضرور تھا کہ ہماری عاقبت بخیر ہوگی, لیکن حسین نے جو انگلیوں سے اشارہ کیا ہے اور جنت کے اس منظر کو بتایا ہے, ان کا علم یقین اب حق الیقین اور عین الیقین میں بدل گیا تھا. اور وہاں جب حسین نے کہا کہ تم سب کے سب شہید ہو گئے, تو یہ 14 سال کا جوان کھڑا ہوتا ہے, شاید ذہن میں آیا کہ یہ بات, یہ جو باتیں ہو رہی ہیں چچا جو کر رہے ہیں صرف بڑوں سے کر رہے ہیں. پوچھتے ہیں, یا امی وہاں اقتل, کیا ہم بھی ان میں ہیں کہ نہیں جو قتل کر دیے جائیں کل. بات یہ ہے کہ ہمیں قتل کر دیا جائے گا, یہ نہیں کہتے ہیں کہ ہمیں بھی لڑنے کی اجازت ملے گی یا نہیں. یہ فکر جو ہے عجیب غریب فکر ہے, آپ کو صرف کربلا میں ملے گی. سوال یہ بھی ہو سکتا تھا کہ جہاں یہ لوگ جائیں گے لڑنے, क्या मुझे भी इजाजत मिलेगी लड़ने के लिए? नहीं, सवाल यह नहीं है। वाना उख्तिल, क्या हम भी उनमें हैं जो मकतूल होंगे? हुसैन इब्न अली ने जब देखा है कासिम के इस सवाल को, भाई याद आ गए, कासिम की कमसिनी याद आ गई, जो मोहब्बत थी इस भतीजे से। कहते हैं इब्न आखी कैफल मौत इंदक, तेरी नजर में मौत का क्या तसव्वुर है? फरमाते हैं या अम्मी अहला मिन अल असल, अपनी कमसिनी के लिहाज से जवाब दिया है, लेकिन ऐसा जवाब है कि जो कयामत तक हमेशा बुलंद बाला रहेगा, कि मेरी नजर में मौत जो है शहद से भी ज्यादा शीरीन और मीठी है। हुसैन ने कहा कि कासिम तुम भी शहीद होगे। आशूर के दिन असहाब की शहादत के बाद बनु हाशिम की जब शहादत की नौबत आती है, कासिम बार बार आते हैं लेकिन मौला इनकार करते हैं, सभी को रोकते थे लेकिन कासिम के सिलसिले में जरा ज्यादा ही इनकार किया है। यहां तक कि कासिम जो है आके रोने लगे और तारीख के जो ताबीर है ये इताना का हो, हुसैन ने कासिम को अपने गले से लगाया, وجعل يبكيان حتى غشي عليهما, और दोनों इतना रोए एक दूसरे से गले मिलने के बाद, ये गशी के आलम में तारी हो गई उन पर। लेकिन फिर भी जब कासिम ने कहा कि चचा इजाजत है, फिर उसे ने कहा कि नहीं, यहां तक कि कासिम ने रोते हुए अपने को हुसैन के कदमों पर गिरा दिया है, फिर हुसैन ने उठाया है और उस वक्त हुसैन ने कासिम को इजाजत दी है। अज़दारों ने हुसैन अहले हरम की किस तरह से जनाब कासिम वहां से रुख्सत लेके आए होंगे, तारीख अकबर के बारे में बयान करती है लेकिन कासिम के बारे में कोई बयान नहीं है। लेकिन यकीनन हर बीबी ने आके रोका होगा, खुसूसन उम्मे फरमा ने रोका होगा, लेकिन ये जवान जो है खैमों से भी निकलता है। हुसैन इब्न अली ने खुद ही कासिम पर अमामा रखा और घोड़े पर सवार करते हैं, और सवार करने के बाद अज़दारा ने हुसैन खुद हमीद बिन मुस्लिम जो रावी है दुश्मन का उस वक्त जो रिपोर्टर था, वो बयान करता है कि मैंने देखा कि अब हुसैन के खेमेगाह की तरफ से वो नौजवान आ रहा है जिसका चेहरा जो है चांद की तरह था, और अभी तक हमें वो मंजर याद है कि उसके पैर रकाब तक नहीं पहुंच पा रहे थे, और एक मलऊन जिसका नाम अम्र इब्न साद नुफैली था, उसने कहा कि इस जवान को हम कत्ल करेंगे, तो हमीद बिन मुस्लिम खुद कहता है कि इसकी कमसिनी को देखो, ये इतना नौजवान है, इसको तुम इरादा करते हो कत्ल करने के लिए। कासिम जाते हैं, बहरहाल अली के पोते थे, जंग लड़ते हैं और कुछ यजीदियों को फिलनार करते हैं, लेकिन वही मलऊन जिसने टारगेट किया था जनाब कासिम को, वो करीब आता है और जनाब कासिम पर सर पर इस तरह से वार करता है कि जनाब कासिम अपने को घोड़े पर नहीं संभाल सके। जब घोड़े से जमीन पे आने लगे, बहुत बुलंद आवाज में कहते हैं या अम्मा अदरकनी, चचा जान मेरी मदद को पहुंचिए। अज़दारा ने हुसैन, ये आवाज जब खयाम हुसैनी तक पहुंची है, हुसैन फर्त मोहब्बत की वजह से कासिम के सिलसिले में अपनी तलवार को निकालते हैं, यजीदी लश्कर पर इतना शिद्दत का हमला करते हैं कि उनके घोड़े जो है इधर से उधर चलने लगे। बस जब कासिम पहुंचे हैं, बहुत देर हो चुकी थी, इन्हीं घोड़ों के सुबह से जनाब कासिम का जिस्म जो है पामाल हो चुका था। अज़दारा ने हुसैन, खुद हुसैन के तासुरात यही थे कि जमीन करबला में कासिम के पहलू में बैठ जाते हैं, कहते हैं बोजन लिकौम इन कतलूक, कासिम ये वाय हो इस कौम पर जिसने तुझे कत्ल किया है। और उसके बाद एक जुबला कहते हैं, इसलिए कि अभी कासिम जिंदा थे और एड़ियां डगड़ रहे थे, उसमें जुमला कहते हैं कि कासिम तेरे चचा के लिए ये
بڑا دشوار مرحلہ ہے کہ تم نے آواز دی لیکن وہ مدد کو نہیں پہنچ سکے، اور اگر جواب اس پر لبیک کہتے ہوئے تم تک پہنچے ہیں کہ بہت دیر ہو چکی ہے۔ دادار اور حسین قاسم کو اپنے گود میں رکھا، لیکن اسی وقت قاسم کی روح جو ہے ملے اعلیٰ کی طرف پرواز کر جاتی ہے۔ دادار اور حسین قاسم نے امام حسین علیہ السلام نے قاسم کے لاشے کو کس طرح سے اٹھایا ہے، وہ لاشا جو پامال ہو چکا تھا۔ آتے ہیں خیمے کے قریب رکھتے ہیں، حمید بن مسلم کی روایت ہے کہ ہم نے دیکھا کہ قاسم کا سینہ حسین کے سینے سے لگا ہوا تھا، لیکن زمین پر جو ہے دونوں قدم جو ہے خط کھینچتے ہوئے چلے جا رہے تھے۔ حمید بن مسلم سے عجیب سوال ہے، تم نے کہا تھا کہ یہ نوجوان اتنا کم سن ہے اس کا پیر رکاب تک نہیں پہنچتا ہے، یہ کیا ہوا ہے قاسم پر کہ سینہ حسین کے سینے سے لگا ہے لیکن قدم جو ہے زمین پر خط کھینچ رہے ہیں؟ دادار حسین جب قاسم کے لاش پر کو ہم فرما کے خیمے کے سامنے لا کے رکھتے ہیں، جب ماں کی نظر جاتی ہے، ماں بیٹے کے لاش کو نہ پہچان سکی۔ دادار حسین بس ایک منفرد مصیبت جناب قاسم کی ہے کہ وہاں صرف ایک لاشا تھا جو پامال ہوا تھا، وہ حسین ابن علی کا لاشا تھا، لیکن وہ اس وقت پامال ہوا جب سر جو ہے تن سے جدا ہو چکا تھا۔ لیکن وا قاسم، ابھی جان جسم میں موجود تھی جب گھوڑوں کے دوڑنے کی وجہ سے قاسم کا جسم جو ہے پارا پارا ہو چکا۔
الا لعنة الله يا القوم الظالمين، سيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون۔ خداوند استغفر الله، قبول فرما ہمارے گناہوں کو، بخش دے ہمارے توفیقات میں اضافہ فرما۔ خداوند شیعان علی جہاں بھی ہیں ان کو اپنی حفظ و امان میں رکھ، تکفیری افواج کی تمام صلاحیت کو نیست و نابود فرما، امام کے ظہور میں تاج فرما۔ ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم۔ ما تبع حسين